Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Hoopers Podcast. I am your host, the president of the Hoopers, the headband warrior, Ben Roberts. And my guest today, a man who goes by many names, Sean Emir. It's Sean Emir Morris, we think, right? We think we're doing a podcast right now.
Hopefully, we're trying it.
It's a lot more complicated.
Oh, it's errors.
It's a lot more complicated than the folks at home would think, trying to arrange a podcast with people who don't have podcast equipment in the quarantine. But here we are. We think that we're recording something, so let's just have a chat. And even if it doesn't record, hey, at least we will have had a phenomenal chat amongst friends for the last hour.
Lovely little video chat.
How have you been, mate?
Yeah, good, good. Busy.
Are you busy?
Occupied. Yeah, so. I'm a key worker, technically, so I'm still having to work at the moment and go out and about. That's how I was able to justify popping over and getting the microphone from a safe social distance of 2 meters. Yeah, it was nice seeing you over there.
And are you busy?
Looking well?
Yeah, I feel like I am looking quite well, actually, considering. I'm shaving, I'm using a new... I bought some new beard shampoo and beard conditioner on eBay. So I've been using some of that.
I feel like you've got the look now and then you've just kind of tamed it, if that makes sense, because the beard's not changing much at the moment. The hair's pretty much the same, whereas before you moved down to London, the hair was all over the place, the beard was inconsistent. So I think like you've got this look over here now, which you've kind of, owned it.
Yeah, now it's just about maintaining and trying to make myself... I'm trying to make myself a little bit prettier around the edges, you know? I've been looking up YouTube tutorials of how to shave these bits, you know? The bits on your cheek so that you get the line going. Because I look at everyone else's beard, I'm like, how have they got that line so perfectly? Because my beard doesn't really stop anywhere. It just gradually gets less and less of a beard as you go up to my eye.
I haven't really got, like, a beard. It's just, like, random strands of hair coming. I can grow a solid tash and, like... chin hair, but it just kind of fades out. I'm really jealous of people like, you know, like Alex. He had like a f***ing beard when he was like 16, didn't he?
Yeah, Alex is ridiculous. Yours is looking fuller than it's ever looked, probably, though.
My what, sorry?
Your beard is looking fuller than it's ever looked, probably.
Well, I keep on shaving because I feel a bit dirty and grubby, but I guess now in lockdown is probably the best time to actually look dirty and grubby.
And when
it?
You shave, are you using shaving cream, shaving butter?
I have been using an electric shaver, so it's not like a clean shave, but I'm sorry to say, mate, Gillette is usually the shaving gel I use, but I'll probably try and switch over to this Swedish stuff.
Yeah, have you thought about using my new Swedish product, maybe?
I hadn't until you advertised it so brilliantly in the last podcast, and really sold it.
What brand new Swedish product, you ask? I'm talking about my brand new shaving cream butter soap. I think they call it shaving soap. From the good folks at Laugar of Sweden Shaving Products. That's right, this came all the way from Sweden. And I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but it's something like that. It's Laugar. So it's something like Laugar. It's a company run by Nina, who's an experienced chef. So these amazing ingredients, they're in safe hands. Nina only uses first-class organic oils. These are ingredients you can trust on your skin. Think about how many terrible ingredients you're putting on your skin right now. Not these things. Not Laugar. I just dip my brush in it, swish it around, coat it all over my head like a paintbrush, and my skin, my head, my everything, my life, my whole essence, my being... feels amazing afterwards, feels so smooth. The risk of allergies is extremely low with this stuff, I'm told. These are all vegan products, so there's strictly no animal testing going on of any kind. I'm told that Laugar is the old Norse word for bathing. So you're not just getting a fancy new age product here, you're getting history, culture, tradition. In Scandinavian countries, Saturday is called Laugdag, or something like that. Because Saturday was the day that everyone would have a wash back in the olden times. See, I'm teaching you guys a lot right now. I hope everyone's paying attention. This particular shaving foam I'm using is called Skogsrå. Something like that. Skogsrå. It's a straight soap with forest notes. Lots of foresty flavors. A lot of juniper coming through there. Skogsrå was a mythical Scandinavian figure who used to seduce and lure men into the woods, never to be seen again. It was said that any man who gave in to Skogsrå's charms would lose his soul to her. So that's good. On their website, you'll also find beard oil, face oil, soap. They've got all kinds of stuff on there. This is high quality stuff that you're finding on this website. All kinds of things to leave your skin feeling looked after. You go to laugar.se, so that's laugar.se, and have a look through all these quality products made with quality ingredients. You want quality products, especially if you've got a bald head like me. Listen to this, the blade just gliding over the head. I'm sure you can all hear the last remaining dying embers of my youth just gliding off my head right there. It's a brilliant product, and you should be looking after your skin. You should be looking after your head. So I don't know why you haven't gone on this website already. You've been on like 15 other websites already today. What's one more? I don't understand what you're waiting for. You're just being stubborn. So just go and do it. Because surely you agree with me. Gillette doesn't smell good. It doesn't really feel good. It's not a good sounding name. It's not branded well. The only thing about Gillette is that they advertise during football. That's why everyone buys it.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I don't really buy shaving products for the smell of it, I suppose. But hey-ho.
But maybe what I've been thinking recently is maybe if I get more into like my fragrances, my beard oils, my moisturizers, my, you know, whatever, like little things here and there to try and up my market value.
So you've kind of chosen a weird time to decide to do all this when you're not actually able to see anyone, or, you know, no one's able to actually smell you or anything. But you're going to kind of come out of this quarantine like a butterfly coming out of this cocoon, yeah. I suppose.
Smelling like a bed of roses.
Whoa. Yeah.
I think it's a good time to practice. It's a good time to experiment.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Couldn't agree more, mate. Yeah.
So you're smelling pretty bad, are you?
Yeah. Weight gain. Just heck, it's gone pretty bad. I shaved my hair because my hair, as you know, grows ridiculously quick, and it goes out not long.
Yeah.
So I get this kind of white boy afro thing going on. So I kind of shaved it myself, / Lucy reluctantly helping me. Now it's kind of growing longer in different areas, so it's a bit of a nightmare. Mm. So I've invested in a hat. But I had to go to work the other day, and I shaved my hair actively thinking, like, you know, oh, no one's going to see me, it's all right. And then I got called out to go out and actually see members of the public, so I was like, ah.
Yeah, your shaven head definitely doesn't suit you as well as mine does, I wouldn't say. I think you suit the same hairstyle that you've had for the last 20 years.
I should emphasize, my shaven hair is completely different to yours, though, isn't it? Because you've gone skinhead
to the bone,
whereas I went grade 3, I think it was.
Do you think that's the problem, that you just went one foot in?
Didn't commit. I don't know, I've got a lovely head of hair though, haven't I, to be fair, so it would be a waste to shave it all off, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in a way, that's more... I find that's why when Cantona did it, and when Beckham did it, and when Keane did it, that's why it was so... such a noteworthy look for them, because everyone kind of looked at their head thinking like, oh, this guy could have hair, and he doesn't even need it.
It's a bit pathetic and sad to say. I always feel 10 times harder when I've got, like, do you know what I mean? I feel like a tough guy when I've got shorter hair,
me too.
That makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
So, whereas I look at Cantona with kind of, like, shorter hair, I'm thinking, yeah, he looks a lot tougher, if that makes sense.
I definitely...
Even Beckham.
Oh, they all definitely look tough. I mean, people underestimate how tough Bex was. He was pretty tough.
Yeah, well, I kind of associate him to that little... flimsy little kick, you know, that little childish one that he did against, who was it, Argentina?
Argentina, yeah.
that's not really a tough guy thing, but he had kind of long hair at the time, didn't he? So if he had short hair, he would have broken... Was it Pochettino?
Simeone.
No, it was Diego Simeone, wasn't it? Yeah, he would have broken him in half if he had short hair, because he was that tough.
Maybe he was just a year out. I think if you were building a football team and you wanted... Here's how I would build a football team. Who's going to perform well? Who's going to be up for a battle away at Burnley? Who's going to, like, the ball goes over for a throw-in and he's, like, giving it out to the fans. He's like, ah, come on, give me the ball back, whatever. Bex had a little bit of that about him. Because I think those are the teams where you're like, oh, Burnley, it's 0-0 in the 70th minute. You can't break him down. And then you need players to have a bit of, like, oomph, a bit of, like, oh, I'll do it then. I'll win this game. I'll take the game by the scruff of the neck. And Bex, mate, if I showed you a list of games that Bex won, like, all by himself with a goal out of nowhere or a goal in the last minute, or, like, obviously the famous one is the free kick he scored against Greece in the last minute. He did that all the time. He did that all the time for United. Scored so many goals.
I think we've transitioned so smooth from hair to football there, which is perfect.
Well, yeah, I have my own podcast, so this is not my first podcast. I hope this is recording nicely, because we're on such a good streak of podcasts that don't have audio problems. Mm. It's like our best ever streak of like 5 podcasts without audio problems.
There's some podcasts I've genuinely been quite interested in, but I have to kind of switch off halfway through because the audio has not been great. And I've, you know, voiced my opinion many a time to you. And to be fair, the last couple ones have been outstanding, mate.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that in quarantine are a little bit easier, where they record on their side and we record over here and then I mix them together, because you get a nice calm. Like the bits that I'm talking now, I'll just mute you completely so I don't pick up any of your, like,
chewing
kind of noises. Yeah. And I never noticed before editing podcasts, but I make so many noises, like, with my mouth, like, disgusting noises while I'm talking. Not even when someone else is talking, just, like, at the end of words, I do, like, all these horrible clicks with my mouth. They're so it's so disgusting when you hear yourself.
It's all those little idiosyncrasies that are kind of amplified when you record it, isn't it?
Say that word again.
Isn't it? Idiosyncrasies?
Idiosyncrasies. Why don't you tell the folks at home what idiosyncrasies means?
They're kind of like imperfect mannerisms attached to a person.
Yeah.
Are you going to try and catch me out there?
No. I just wanted the audience to learn. I feel like if we're not teaching people, the folks
what
at home...
What are we doing?
Yeah. They're logging in here trying to learn.
Advertising Swedish hair products.
Yeah. Why didn't you tell the folks at home about your new favourite TV show?
We're going to jump right into that straight away?
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't spoken to you for a while. I thought we were going to have a nice little catch-up. Anyway.
Oh, you want to know how we're doing and stuff?
Yeah, we'll talk about TV and stuff after. I want to know, I'm quite interested to see what you've been up to.
Well,
because you've kind of come from the big city of London back to little old Llanfair Pwll Gwengyll.
Yeah.
And I want to see how you're getting on, really.
I'm a little bit, I'm growing increasingly frustrated that I'm still here. Didn't think this lockdown would last this long, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm getting a bit sick of it now, to be honest with you. It's been a while, isn't it? So,
but it feels
I'm having to do a lot more at the moment as well, obviously because Lucy's pregnant, so she's really limited as to where she can go. So in terms of, like, going out doing the shop and stuff like that, I've got to do that. I found that so frustrating. Have you been to the shops?
I've been once, yeah. Once to the shops.
Once?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Because I don't have a car up here, so I've got to walk all the way to Co-op. It's like a 25-minute walk to go to the shops. It's a little bit too much.
I feel like I'm making the effort. I'm wearing all this, like, PPE, going there. You know, I've got my gloves on, got my mask, and I'm keeping my 2 meters, yeah? And, like, this little old lady will just jump right in front of me, like, overtake me and just come into my own space and, like, grab the milk. And it's just incredibly frustrating where you see some people completely get it and then other people just don't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I see it. I mean, I can... The one time I did my shop, everyone was pretty good about it. Like, everyone seemed to be keeping... But there was only, like, four people in the shop, so it was pretty easy. But then you see it more... You see the contrast that you're talking about more starkly on jogs of, like, who moves out of the way when you're coming, or who just, like, stays in the middle of the road, not letting you past.
I guess the social etiquette of it all is a bit, you know... Yeah. Middled at the moment, isn't it? Because you're not sure, you know.
And like, I always see kids out like on bikes together, like groups of five kids, where I'm thinking, there's no way those five kids are all from the same household.
Mate, I went to a council estate yesterday with work, and like where I live, obviously everyone's sticking to it at the moment, and fair play, in like Colwyn Bay, everyone I've seen out on the streets, you know, it's not been too bad until recently. But I went to a council estate yesterday, and there was so many like packs of kids just running around together, people in gardens, just having barbecues, treating it like a jolly, basically. And you could tell they're not in the same household, so it kind of makes you think, oh God, why am I not getting to see my family? Why am I not able to do all this and that and see my friends? Where this, you know, group of people in the council estate or just anywhere and not adhering to it. Do you know what I mean? It just feels like the rule applies for some people, but not for others, which it kind of makes it a bit more frustrating. But
you're saying it's all poor people's fault?
No, not at all, mate. If you look in London, London's a bit mayhem at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
London can be pretty poor in some areas, I'll tell you.
You know what I mean? I think the novelty of a whole, like, oh, keep your distance is kind of worn off now, and, like, people are just getting bored of it and fed up and just thinking, oh, I haven't caught it yet, it's fine. I can just kind of invade the space and just crack on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Would you make of, did you see that Kyle Walker has broken lockdown again?
He's done it a couple of times, and he's gone on, like, the... offensive now, isn't he? Just saying that he's being harassed by journalists and stuff. So it started off by him having sex workers come to his house, didn't it?
Kyle Walker, the Premier League footballer,
he
got in trouble about a month ago for having two sex workers come to his house during lockdown.
He's just gone bad to worst with him, really, isn't he? So he's then like...
He's married, isn't he? Is he married?
That was mate.
I thought he was. I thought that was part of the story.
I love the fact that everyone's more annoyed that he's had the sex worker come to the house rather than cheating on his wife.
Well,
he was 2 meters away from that sex worker.
Well, I'm sure there are things that you can solicit someone to do that are 2 meters apart. But if you're going to pay all that money, I think it was $2,000, you know... That's a hefty price for the...
And then,
but then the other
this,
day, he got in trouble because he went to his sister's house and his mum's house or something like that.
Yeah, and then she gave him a hug, and then he's come out saying, what was I meant to do? Push it away.
Yeah. I don't know if I quite... I don't have a lot of sympathy for him there. But he did...
No, not really.
He did come out with a mental health defense. He was saying, like, oh, I've been going through so much, and I just wanted to see the only person
in
the world...
Mate, we're all going through stuff. Do you know what I mean, though? It's difficult for everyone. Yeah. Really, I've no sympathy for these bloody celebrities with massive houses and acres of space in the back. There was that picture of Sam Smith making a rounds, wasn't there, with him crying, just saying he's finding it really, really difficult. And then you've got people, I think for us, he lives in a flat, doesn't he, in London, and he's only got like a tiny outdoor space where you can actually go to. I mean, we're quite fortunate, we've got big gardens, haven't we? But imagine if you were still living in a big city with limited space where you could actually go outside. You'd be well annoyed and well struggling. And then these celebrities are complaining and saying, oh, I've got enough room, I've got cabin fever. Get out.
I have a smidge more sympathy for celebrities than the average person, I'd say. I tend to think celebrities... I never quite buy that argument. You know, whenever Drake comes out with a new album, everyone's like, what's Drake got to cry about? He's got $100 million.
Yeah,
They are also humans. Well, Kyle Walker was saying he's going through a lot of human problems at the moment.
Yeah, okay, that's a different argument, which I get that side. I'm not dismissing that they don't have, you know... anxieties or whatever. And, you know, the scrutiny of being in the public eye all the time obviously is going to have an impact on your mental health. But what I'm saying is, when they're complaining about the situation and the impact of COVID-19 on their mental health, when they're in a lot better position than a lot of other people who are having to go out and work, who aren't able to kind of make the most out of their home or what have you. Do you know what I mean? That's the argument I'm putting forward.
Rich people, poor people, who do you want to slag off next?
No, done my rounds, mate. It's fine.
Who else do you want to alienate from listening to this podcast? You're just working Sam your way Smith, through the salary bands.
No. No, when earlier I was talking about, you know, council estates, I don't mean specifically just them as a targeted group of people. Obviously, you see it everywhere. It just so happens I happened to be there the other day, and that was the example I chose to give. Yeah, so don't twist this. I know what you're like. You little editing skills. Emmett hates poor people. No, that's not the case.
You think I've got skills, do you?
Well, you know, you've been doing this long enough.
Hopefully, yeah. Not long enough that I can hopefully do a streak. Keep my streak going of positive audio. Not just positive quality, positive content as well.
Yeah. Have you hit 100 episodes yet?
No, surely not. I think I've only just hit 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I've done about maybe 60.
I feel like you've been doing this for a while now, though, haven't you? Because we did. Yes. Yeah. No, it's a good thing, though. We're getting better. You know, strength to strength and all that. I did it like a World Cup one. That was like my third one. That was in 2018, wasn't it?
That was your last one in the summer of 2018. Yeah, it's been 2 years.
No, I did that one with Raz.
Your last solo one.
Yeah, last solo one. I've done a couple, haven't I?
You've done a lot. You're like the podcast sidekick.
Obviously, we've got the whole distancing thing. You've moved down to London, I've moved to Colwyn Bay, obviously. Yeah, you're not up the road anymore, mate. I miss you.
And you're with child.
With child, yeah. Pretty cool. Quite excited, actually.
How long left now?
So she is due August the 5th, which 28 weeks, I think she is. I don't know.
Wow.
She's in her third That's trimester now. Yeah, no, it goes quick though, mate, honestly. Just
and have you
like
done that thing where you have you done the thing where you pop the balloon and the glitter comes out?
No. Lucy didn't want to do that, but we went to, obviously before all this happened, we were really lucky actually, because when we actually had the gender scan, it was like the day before the lockdown happened, if that makes sense. So since that, they've put in measures, because we've got other friends who are expecting kids as well, and the girl had to go in on her own, and the fellow wasn't allowed to go in with her. Just because of the whole social distancing thing. So she found out first, if that makes sense. Which, obviously, is not ideal. Me and Lucy found out together, which is pretty cool. But, I'm hoping all this will be kind of gone and sorted by then, really. Because as it stands, if Lucy went into labour today and gave birth, I'd be allowed to stay with them for 2 hours and then I'd have to f*** off home or leave there. And obviously...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it sucks, really, isn't it, mate? So... Wouldn't really be allowed. Yeah. So it's bad enough, like, she's missing all her, like, antenatal classes, and she's got a midwife appointment coming up. We haven't seen a midwife in ages, because obviously they're limited as to what they can do. So it's not an ideal time to, you know, be pregnant, but it is what it is, I suppose. We're not the only ones. And, yeah.
It is what it is, those magical words.
And being home, obviously, like, I've got time to kind of sort stuff around the house and get things ready. So before coming on here, I was building the chest of drawers and changing station for the baby's room. So doing stuff like that's pretty cool. I'm quite excited for it.
Wait, so did you say we found out what the gender was?
Yeah, so I'm having a boy.
Did I know that?
Yeah, I'm sure I told you.
Oh, maybe I just forgot.
No, you boys got us a voucher and everything, didn't you? Fair play to you. I think Lurvik took the lead on doing that. Mate, I've had this conversation with you before.
Well, it's been a while. Come on, quarantine. Everything's kind of mushing into one.
That's quite significant, I'm having a baby boy, won't it?
Well, I thought when you said it, I'm like, you should probably know that. Yeah, when you said it, I was like, there's no way he's told me that he's having a girl. Like, I've always thought that you're having a boy, so
See, I thought I was having a girl for ages, and then when we had the scan, they were like, do you want to know? And we were like, yeah. And then as we finished saying yeah, she was like, boy. And then it's on the screen. We're like, ah, oh, right, okay.
You could just wait until they're born and not assign a gender.
You what?
You could, for the sake of your baby's mental health, maybe not make them susceptible to that kind of societal pressure of choosing a gender and let them choose on their own what gender they think themselves to be.
Nah, you're right, mate. I think we'll just...
Maybe give a gender fluid name, like...
Nah, you're right.
Flo.
When have you ever met a bloke called Flo?
Probably in Norway or something, there's one.
Imagine how my parents would react if I came out and said something like you've just said. No. Yes, Sigrius Kallia, we're view.
No, it's everyone's right to choose. Everyone's...
Elon Musk has had, a baby, and the name's just like a load of symbols.
Yeah, it's like XIO, X10, dash, something.
Things are getting mad, aren't they? Don't you think?
Elon Musk, the owner of Tesla?
Tesla.
Or the founder of Tesla?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not... It's all a little bit worrying when stuff like that starts happening, but, you know, there's probably always been mad people. I mean, what's the difference between him doing that and, like, people naming their child Hitler or...
You know, they're actually not allowed to do that in Germany. There's, like, a list of names that you officially can't name your child, and Adolf and Hitler are among those. Rightly so, really. Imagine how much that child would have.
I believe in Sweden, you're not allowed to name your child Metallica.
Oh, really?
Which suggests that there were a lot of people in Sweden trying to name their baby Metallica.
Imagine who's responsible for coming up with that list.
They're a very famous band.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people, when you name your beloved son /
child
he/him pronouns, you're probably going to look to the people who inspired you the most in your road to fatherhood.
Am I?
Yeah. Like, you're trying to think of who you want this baby to aspire to be, what kind of son you'd be proud to have if they grew up and be like I'd name it like, I'd name my son like some footballer I liked or something.
Eric Cantona.
I was just thinking Eric. Eric, actually.
Eric.
I'm not sure about Eric as a name, but naming it after Cantona would be good.
If they decide to pick, you know, change the gender, a simple case of putting an A at the end, Erica, problem solved.
That's true, yeah. If your son came to you at 4 years old, let's say, and said, Daddy, well, what's he calling you? Dad? Dada?
Dad, probably.
Dids? Dot? Dad? I'd like to start wearing dresses, please. I think it's my inherent XY chromosome makeup.
Mate, you think my child's going to be using words like that at the age of 4?
Or maybe he's researched... Maybe he, unlike his dad, will have a laptop and he'll be able to go on the internet and research stuff.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, no, I don't know, mate. I was going to say, it's like most things with parenting, isn't it? You just have to kind of play it by ear and... I don't know.
I knew I should have just got a dog instead.
Oh, no, I bought a book the other day. It's like First Time Parent, and I've read a couple of pages, and it scared the shit out of me, so I put
it
back
down.
It's just, it's kind of like stuff to expect in, like, the hospital and, you know, during labour and all that. I'm not going to get into it because it's pretty graphic anyway, but yeah. Pregnancy sounds quite scary, mate, to be honest with you.
Why don't you do the thing, since you're in lockdown, why don't you do the thing with the get where you both get into a pool and swim
Lucy's
around for a bit?
Up for doing that. You know, she wanted a water birth, but I don't know if limiting if you're actually allowed to do that now.
That's what my sister did. Why wouldn't you be allowed? All you need is one midwife, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I don't know.
Because you buy the pool yourself.
Yeah, tell you what, I'll ask, okay? We've got a midwife appointment coming in on Thursday, so I'll ask. My mate Ben Roberts wants to know.
The only thing about that is, you know how when you must have read on some of the pages of your dog owner book or a baby delivery book. You know when the when the woman gives birth, her bowels, you know, pass through the, you know?
Yeah.
So if you get in the pool with her, what's going to happen there?
Let's move on, because I don't really want to have this conversation.
These are things you've got to think about before the...
Yeah, definitely think about, not broadcast on a podcast, maybe. I don't know.
So. Do you want to hear my... because, as you said, I'm going to be your best man at your wedding.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear I've written some jokes for the best man speech?
I'm a bit worried about this, to be honest with you, so...
Well, this is your little preview.
Okay, go for it.
It's all jokes about how you like dogs.
You've really latched on that, haven't you? I've got a dog, which you haven't even met. Honestly, if you'd meet my dog, yeah, you'd fall in love with him, honestly.
If I met your dog, I wouldn't be making these jokes.
Gitter loves him. Gitter used to come over, pretend to come see me, and he was like, oh, is Alfie here? And just come in. Japan at like 9 o'clock at night and just pop in, have cuddles with Alfie.
So maybe he's going to make me delete these bloody jokes. Okay, so I start with, I think we can all agree Emmett looks quite fetching tonight. Yeah? Fetch.
I was having a swig of my beer, nearly spat it out on the microphone.
Emmett has always been looking for someone of Lucy's pedigree. He also likes her yams and chum. There's a dog food brands.
I feel like you're going to be laughing at these, and like people are going to be like, what's he on about?
Someone will be laughing.
Gitter's going to be just kind of shaking his head. You're going to be laughing. Johnny's going to just be laughing in between eating.
I'm not sure that Johnny's going to get these. Although Emmett has always known in his heart that Lucy was the one, what really sealed it was when he caught her with her leg up pissing against a tree in the woods.
Please don't say that. Honestly, mate, she's probably going to get up and give you a right hook, you know.
No, that didn't happen. That did not happen.
Alfie,
the dog, actually caused Lucy and Emmett's most embarrassing, messy moment in the bedroom. But it was all a misunderstanding. He said he wanted a shih tzu.
Yeah, don't. That's just weird, mate. Because people's minds are going to be wondering then, aren't they? They're going to be like, oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, mate.
Does anyone here know Emir's favourite sex position?
Oh, please don't.
No, we don't want any more jokes. That's enough jokes for today.
Oh, no, that's awful. Can you not sing your song and just, like, get to do the speech?
What? So I'm going to sing a song at the reception? I thought I was going to sing it at the...
actual ceremony. Yeah, no, you don't need to speak in the reception, mate. It's fine, honestly. Just, you enjoy the meal. Enjoy the rest of the speeches.
No one Let's count how many dog jokes I can come up with and see if it...
sakes.
Because Gitter's going to be struggling as well. So, guaranteed, a week before the wedding, Gitter's going to be texting me in a panic. Mate, what are we going to say? I'm panicking. I'll say, mate, don't worry. I've got 14 solid dog jokes here. We'll just go bar for bar. You go, I go.
As soon as these speeches are over, the sooner the better, really. I'm dreading it about you now.
What's going to be your first dance?
You'll have to wait and see, won't you?
Ooh. It's going to be something terrible, isn't it? It's going to be Imagine Dragons or something like that.
We were listening to, what do you call it? Sean Ed and Calvin's... podcast the other day. Have they not got anything sorted?
For what, their wedding?
Yeah, for their first dance.
Oh, first dance? No. They said they've never danced to a song in their lives.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I'm more invested about stuff like that than Lucy is, to be honest. She doesn't really care as much, to be honest. About the music-wise. We've got, like, a band, and they've got kind of, you know, a varied playlist at the moment, so that should be quite good.
What kind of... Give me one of their songs.
So we're doing Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus.
Okay, yeah? Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, the songs that you'd have like in Cheese Night in like uni.
Yeah, you know, I think Teenage Dirtbag's
a good... Sum 41s and stuff like that.
I think that's a good choice.
They've got a bit of Libertines, a bit of
Razor Light. Let me guess, they're going to do Mumford and Sons.
Yeah, you know I love Mumford and Sons. A bit of Lumineers. That kind of vibe, to be honest.
What songs do the Lumineers have?
They've got Ho Hey or Hey Ho.
Of course they do.
Yeah, that's a nice song, though.
I don't know who the Lumineers are, but I just have in my head that they're probably
I've got quite a, like, a broad taste in music anyway, so I've done like a bit of a playlist of like potential first dance songs and songs I'd like to play in the wedding type of thing. So you're playing Paul McCartney, Maybe I'm Amazed. How that's was that right. Good.
Yeah, done it.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty good clip though, wasn't it? I showed it to Lucy and she was like, yeah, fine.
What, those like 6 seconds I played?
Yeah, no, it's pretty good though, to be fair. I've gone to the garage and got myself, the old keyboard out and started trying to learn how to play. And playing piano is really tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to have, like, really wide hands just to get all the, like...
Yeah, you've got to feel comfortable. Because I remember back when I couldn't really play, I used to watch Jams play. Me and Jams used to go in the piano room and I used to watch him play. And, like, watching his hand, like, stretch across the keys like that, I was like, I'm never going to be able to do that. Because even in slow-mo, I wasn't able to do that. But then you do just kind of learn to jump around and
spread natural.
Your hand and
yeah,
stuff.
I guess. It's, you know what gets me is being able to play with two hands at the same time. So knowing what's going on with the left one whilst knowing what to do with the right one and where exactly they're going to go, what keys they're going to go. I just found that impossible, mate. So I had Lucy on one side with like a finger just kind of poking the keys
on.
And then
it's
me trying to play.
Then,
yeah. So but a lot of Beatles, we were trying to learn a bit of them because they're quite easy to learn, aren't they? You know, you've got like Yesterday, Hey Jude and stuff like that.
Yeah, Hey Jude must be easy. I can play Blackbird.
Can you?
Yeah. Do you know that one?
I do. Yeah. Golden Slumbers, that would be quite good to play, wouldn't it, on a piano?
Yeah, I can play Golden Slumbers.
Yeah, that's a good song. I didn't really like the Beatles before, but honestly, I've been listening to them quite a bit recently. And yeah,
oh, they're phenomenal.
I don't know how I didn't like them. They're pretty good, aren't they?
One of those
just
bands
that... Just
the
amount of songs that they've got.
Yeah, they've got everything for you. They're the kind of band where everyone thinks they're too cool for the Beatles until they actually dive in and realise that actually Beatles, it goes in a loop for the Beatles. Everyone's too cool for them until they realise the Beatles are actually too cool for them.
Perfect. Well summed up, mate.
I'm
going to have a bit of Beatles in the wedding as well, so I'll try and slip in a bit there. So it's going to have a load of like varieties and stuff like that. I wanted a bit of like Motown in there as well, but I don't know how I'm going to kind of squeeze that in with, you know, Teenage Dirtbag, then going to Motown, then going to Beatles. It's going to be all over the place, isn't it?
Well, no, you just do variety. You're not going to play these songs, are you? It'll be the band playing.
So the band play like their set, obviously, and in between some songs. Like,
in between, leave your work laptop on Spotify.
No, you give them a playlist beforehand. So what I'm thinking of doing is, I've sent the save the dates out already, haven't I? But you know, with the wedding invitations, that you put like request a song there, and obviously I'll go through the songs and then just put random ones in there.
Yeah.
So say now, if you want a song to dance to, you pop it in, and then
it might
come up in a wedding.
I've got one to send over to you right now that I think would be good at the wedding. Yeah, it's called
that's good.
It's called Zoom. Have you heard of it?
By who?
It's by Fat Larry's band.
No, not heard of it, man.
Zoom by Fat Larry's band. Here it is for the folks at home to listen to. Zoom by Fat Larry's band.
Do you want me to listen?
Yeah,
to it
listen
now?
To. I just sent it to you on.
Zoom, just one look, and then my heart went boom. Suddenly. And all the
Yeah, I'm not feeling that.
You're not feeling it?
Nah, not for me, Paul. Sorry, mate.
It's a classic by Fat Larry's Band.
I don't know. I've never heard it before.
No, I don't. I'm not sure if they have any other songs other than that. But
Where do you find these music?
Where did I find that one? I'm not sure. I think that one's always been on on the radio and stuff. I think it's always on. I think it's on Smooth FM sometimes, and I do listen to Smooth FM a lot.
Okay. I'm gonna have to give that one a miss, mate, to be honest with you. So, no, at one point I was considering having Louis Armstrong as my first dance, La Vie en Rose, but I've kind of changed my mind now and gone for something else. Anyway, but you'll have to wait.
Well, so you've just picked one, have you? Rather than actually knowing what song you and Lucy fell in love to.
Well, we kind of fell in love in the club, and there were a lot of songs playing that night, which you probably wouldn't hear now. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be like a Rihanna.
She hit the flow! Next thing you know!
Always. Imagine that. With How You Doing, Manga? Tonight.
Cube.
Yeah. No, it'll be good. No, we've got loads of weddings coming up next year now, because we're all getting cancelled this year now, aren't we?
Yeah, so surely
it's
there's
every other weekend.
Surely there's no danger of them. They can't push yours aside to accommodate the ones that were supposed to be this year, can they?
Oh, no. We've booked. That's not the issue. It's just literally wedding fatigue, isn't it? It's going to be every other weekend.
Yeah, but I think this is the important one.
Yeah. Yeah, mine and Guitar. That's going to be quite good. Obviously, Guitar's and Nicole's, and mine and Lucy's, not me getting married to Guitar. So.
And I think Seanad and Kelvin is a week after yours as well.
Oh, really?
In the same place.
I haven't had an invite to that, but that's fair enough, because I've not really spoken to him since school, to be fair, so wasn't really expecting him.
No, and you just said that you didn't even bother listening to their podcast, so.
I did parts, to be fair, so, yeah.
Let's talk about this TV show that you love so much.
Yeah, so obviously with being home a lot, we're binging quite a bit of TV programmes and stuff, and a quite good one came out on BBC iPlayer, Normal People. So I've asked you to watch a bit of episode one today. We're only in short episodes, and what did you make of it?
I'll tell you, I watched the whole of episode one in its entirety.
Good.
29 minutes and 54
and they're
seconds.
Short episodes as well, and they're quite, you can just watch it, they're quite powerful in that short amount of time, and you can get gripped and hooked without feeling, oh, this is dragging.
And what do,
my
what
opinion
do you,
anyway, back to your opinion.
And first of all, what do you like about it? Maybe you should tell the audience what's good about it before I tell them what's not good about it.
Having watched one episode, you're going to try and tear it apart.
I've got some notes.
Really hard to describe. I was listening to a podcast that kind of reviews TV programs, and the general consensus as well is everyone seems to be hooked as soon as they start watching it. Should I kind of describe what it is first?
I tell you what, I did, even though all of my notes on it are negative, I did half think at around 4 o'clock today, oh, maybe I'll watch episode two.
We watched... There's 12 episodes in the series, so it's an adaptation of Sally Rooney's book Normal People, and they've kind of broken it up into 12 30-minute episodes, which you can just kind of binge. Me and Lucy binged it in about 3 nights. I spoke to Verberg about it. He did it in about 2 nights. Same with Alex.
Oh, Verberg's on
this. I think
this,
Tom's. Yeah, quite a few of the Hoopers are, to be fair. I think Tom's.
How are you having. What are you having all these private conversations with the Hoopers behind my back about?
Yeah, no, we text every now and then, and I speak to Alex quite a bit on Call of Duty, don't I? Anyway, I digress. Tom's going to read the book first, and then he's going to watch the TV program. I might actually read the book anyway. It won Book of the Year, 2 years ago or something like that.
2 years ago.
Sally Rooney, yeah? You know the actual author? She's our age. How crazy is that? She's got her own TV program.
Yeah, I did
see
that. She's 29 years old.
Yeah.
Because I looked it up. Because one of my points, I nearly wrote in it, this woman is clearly 50. And then I looked it up. I was like, damn, I was wrong. Never mind. Scrap that point.
So I'll kind of explain what it is, because I feel like we've just jumped in with me saying it's good and you saying it's good.
Yeah, give rubbish, the little, don't bother give, with it. Give the little blurb.
So it's kind of set in the west coast of Ireland in a place called Sligo, I think it is. Sligo County. And it's kind not of, sure. It starts off with you kind of following Connell. So he's this kind of quite quiet, popular lad in sixth form in some high school in Sligo County. And it kind of looks at his relationship with, what's her name? Marianne. So Marianne's kind of this loner type of girl who's also in sixth form with him. And obviously you kind of watch their story develop through sixth form, through university and outside there, and like kind of watch their relationship build. It's really gripping, really. And it's like really well, you know, directed and everything like that. And you can't help but watch some of it and think, wow, okay, I really want to know what happens next, type of thing. So yeah, I found it quite good. There's so a lot of it that you can kind of relate to with like how he behaves towards her, how she is towards him, and it's kind of relatable without being too obvious, if that makes sense. Yeah,
so we've all they're in
kind of been, yeah, sorry, you got me.
They're in sixth form together. It's a popular mm-hmm. guy who's like a rugby player or whatever.
Yeah.
And a not popular, like introverted, snarky girl. Is that about right?
Yeah. So she's kind of, I don't know, she's got a bit of an attitude, doesn't she, towards the teachers, and she's got, you know, this kind of bit of a complex about her. And I don't know, it begs more watching, if that makes sense.
And those two,
know more about it.
I don't want to, spoiler alert, and I'm not even sure if this is true, but I'm going to go out on a limb here. They fall in love. Is that right?
Yeah, so, well, that's the premise of a show, isn't it? It just kind of follows their
relationship. Well, so far in episode one, they've kissed twice, but I'm assuming yeah. that's going to lead to love.
So, obviously, they know each other through school, but in episode one, we find out that Connell's mum is the cleaner for Marianne's family, and the intimacy between the two starts when Connell goes to pick up his mum from Marianne's house, and the two like interact, you know, away from school, away from their peers and stuff, and we kind of see it from there, really. And it's quite relatable, really, in some sense, because you've got Connell, this kind of shy, kind of awkward teenage lad trying to speak to a girl, basically, and you can relate to
he's
some aspects
shy and
of
awkward.
That.
I We've thought he was supposed to be the popular kid.
Yeah, but he's that's what I'm saying. It's not your kind of bog standard high school romance. There's more to it, which is more
okay.
realistic.
He's
in my
more
mind.
Awkward than the average popular guy, is he? On TV,
he's popular because he's probably good at, you know, rugby or whatever. But there's more to the character. That's what I'm saying. So it's not your just bog standard program. You kind of get to know his anxieties, you know, his awkwardness, and a bit more about his backstory, and you see that character develop with Marianne as well. I don't know, it's quite relatable, mate. You can watch it and think, yeah, you can think at different stages, oh yeah, I could probably relate to how that was, because, you know, being a teenager of that age, speaking to girls isn't necessarily the easiest thing for a lot of people. We're not all really confident.
For you, maybe.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. The show, you can follow it, you can become frustrated because you can say, oh, why haven't you done this? I would have done that, type of thing. Whereas some aspects of you can kind of go, yeah, that's fine. And you kind of zone in and out of like relating to her character, relating to his character. It's just really well directed, I thought, and really good story, to be fair.
And there are a lot of relations in it, is that right?
I knew you were going to get to this bit now. Yeah, as Alex nicely put it, there's a lot of and there's a lot of and I think you've got some stats for us.
Do I? What was the stat that I said earlier?
I think you said throughout the 12 episodes of 30 minutes each, there's a total of 41 minutes of just sex clips in there, isn't there?
Oh yeah, that's what Google said. So what's the average of that? So 41 minutes divided by 12, that's got to be... That's
a lot of sex.
That's what 3.5 minutes of sex an episode? Which is quite a lot.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's not like the main
thing
of the show.
That's longer
than
most sex lasts.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's not like the emphasis of a show, if that makes sense. You don't kind of watch it and say, oh, type of thing. They've done the balance quite well. And like I said, it's well shot and everything. So it's good. There's more to the story than just the sex, but obviously.
And one more thing. Wikipedia tells me that it's also a class struggle, because this it's set amidst the 2008 economic depression.
I mean, there's an element of that, but it doesn't really play a vital role in the story as such. Obviously, you've got the differences between Connell's family and then Marianne's family, but obviously it doesn't play that much of a role in it. It kind of starts off with they're both quite clever, if that makes sense, and then it starts off with them in sixth form and then goes to university. They go to Trinity, Dublin, and obviously how university's a different setup to the high school setup, if that makes sense, which is relatable, you know, us going from like quite a rural setup to a city setup, it's always a bit different, isn't it? More so for you probably than me, because I only went to Bangor, but yeah, it's interesting.
I don't really remember, to be honest.
Yeah, no, but it's kind of relatable, and you watch it and you're like, oh yeah, that's how that felt, if that makes sense. It's definitely worth a watch, mate, and it's like, yeah, no, you'd probably enjoy it a bit more. Let me hear your negative points about
In honor of you, I will watch episode 2 tonight, but here are my 6 negative things I have to say about it. Number 1, all the actors look minimum 25 years old.
I did feel that as well. So.
I'm immediately disbelieving what I'm watching. That to me is a pretty big problem. If as soon as I turn on the TV, I look at them in school uniforms and think, these aren't school kids. That's a problem with getting me to invest in the story, is it not?
Yeah, there's that aspect to it. Yeah, okay, fine, fair enough. Next.
Next. The teachers at this school just give students the floor to voice some clever quips back at them. All the characters are just smashing witty rebuttals back and forth at each other. This isn't how normal people interact with each other. See what I did? I used the TV title against them.
It's not necessarily the case, though, is it? Because it's just Marianne that has this attitude problem towards the teacher, and then she quickly gets shot down by her peers and kind of drawn to one side, if that makes sense. Outcast for doing so. So I'd debate that point, to be honest here, but moving
on. Does Alfie want to shut up or what?
Yeah, I don't know. About 2 seconds, I'll let him back in. First time in a long time. Sorry about
that,
mate.
You need to charge your phone as well.
Yeah, I know. We might have to wrap this up anyway. So, what was your next point?
Okay. I just wanted to say that it wasn't just her. It was lots of them were coming up with these witty, like her brother and stuff are doing these one-liners. It's f***ing weird.
Mm.
Next. It's kind of in response to what you were saying. These kids are taking the f*** out of her for staring out of the window. This feels like an alien trying to describe what bullying is. So the thing is that she was looking out the window and the teacher's like, oi, what are you doing looking out the window? And she says some quip back and she gets detention or whatever. And then the kids later are like, oh, what are you doing looking out the window? Why would that be a source of bullying?
I think we're just taking the out of her for being vacant and not present and just being a bit different to the rest of the class.
The kids are taking the out of her for being vacant in class.
Yeah, for being a bit, you know, out there, being a bit different and being a bit weird, maybe. Because that is a bit weird if you're just
is
kind of staring.
Is that being out there, looking out the window?
It's quite literally out there, isn't it? You're looking out there. But it's a bit weird, isn't it, if she's just kind of, like, not really, you know, engaging with anything, just kind of stood there and, like, looking out the window. Imagine if we were in a pub now, yeah, and all you lads are having a conversation, if I was just there staring out the window being a bit weird, you would kind of pick up on it. You wouldn't go, oh, fair enough, Ems, so that's fine.
I would 100% hand on my heart not notice at all
if you were
looking out the window.
Well, that's more of your attention span, isn't it?
even if I was talking straight at you, if you were looking out the window, I would not give a shit. Why would school kids give a shit that she's looking out the window?
I think that's so much just so your that opinion.
They bring it up. Listen, hours mate, later.
I'm not going to debate this one thing with you, to be honest here, because that's just a minor detail in it, which it's just your opinion. And I think it's quite a good show anyway. So have you got any more, you know, nasty points about the beautiful
this
show?
This one is linked to what you were saying. It hasn't been, and this is my opinion, so clearly your opinion is different. You get a different perception out of this. In my opinion, it hasn't been established why this girl has no friends. Is it just because nobody understands her or whatever? Because she's not portrayed as weird in any way, really. She's just a normal girl. There's no, like, oh, she dresses funny, or she has a funny haircut.
I think it's a general attitude towards the school. She's got a different mentality to the rest of them. And she probably thinks she's a bit better than everyone else there, which you'll find out as the character develops a bit more. Because I think you've got another two episodes where they're in school before they progress to university, if that makes sense. And you find out a bit more about...
Hell, that's quick.
Yeah, I know, but they kind of spread it out, if that makes sense. It might be more, I can't remember, but you've got to kind of pay attention to it, if that makes sense. And obviously the character develops a lot more and you get to know a bit more about them. Yeah, it's quite good. Keep an eye on Connell's mum as well. But she's a really cool character, isn't it?
Connell's mum.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm just seeing a girl who's smart, funny,
you know, she's not actually Irish, right? She's English in real life.
Oh, okay.
It's a good accent.
What are you
going to
tell me next? That she's actually 25?
Okay, can I ask
you
then?
How old is she? I want to know.
Right, I'm going to ask you something now. You said, oh yeah, I might watch episode number 2. What's actually drawing you to watch number 2 then?
I think... I think if I had just stumbled across it on TV, I would have just changed the channel and never even remembered that I had seen it. But I think the fact that it sounds like people seem to like it, coupled with something about the... I do like the aesthetic, I think. I like the dreariness of the weather and the landscapes and the streets and stuff.
Right, okay.
So I like kind of the way it's shot and the mood.
The way it's shot is being highlighted as, you know, something really positive throughout most of the reviews of it, to be honest with you.
It's almost Peaky Blinders-ish in terms of like the bleak look.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of that kind of look.
I was going to go on about like the intimacy between the two and how they capture that, if that makes sense. That's one of the things. Honestly, mate, just give it a go. Give a couple more episodes and see how you like it anyway.
And then, hang on, I've got some more points here.
That's fine. I've only got 2% battery left, though, so...
The silence at this school is crazy. Nobody is ever shouting. Nobody is ever running.
There's no other kids there, is there?
Everyone is just waiting with bated breath to hear this little girl's clever one-lines. Like, at lunchtime, no one's really shouting. Even in the rugby game, there's no, like, screaming or anything. Everyone's just going, oh, come on!
Okay, fine. I feel like you're, you know, clenching of the straws a bit, so... Is it clenching of the straws or clutching of the straws?
Clutching.
Clutching, yeah. I feel like you're, yeah, trying to find holes in this 29 minutes that you've watched so far. I reckon you'd enjoy
it. Well, that's
it,
what I'm here for, isn't it?
Just to be that air
in
of negativity.
In closing, I've put, this seems like the wet dream of an unpopular, insecure woman who dreams that she could have got the popular, attractive guy in school and that he would be as intelligent and have the same interests as her. Is that the point of this whole thing? Shall I write a novel about Mila Kunis falling in love with me?
So that's quite damning towards Sally Rooney, that is, isn't it? I feel like it's quite targeted towards her.
That's what I'm guessing, yeah, because I Google this woman, and she looks just like a slightly uglier version of the lead character.
Mate.
So I don't think I'm terribly... What's wrong with saying that? The lead character is tremendously attractive. Sally Rooney is just a normal-looking woman.
Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of writing stuff yourself? Because I've been given a lot of thought to this, and I thought, like, you've got all this spare time at the moment. You're quite into your murder mysteries and stuff.
Writing a TV show.
Yeah, or just even a short story or, you know, a book or whatever. I think you'd
be... Yeah, it would take some... It would take a bit of determination to push through the... Because I bet when you first start writing, everyone is terrible.
Mate, it's definitely worth a go. And, you know, I'd be more than happy to kind of look over it.
Oh,
what
thanks,
they do
mate.
On Football Weekly, on the Guardian Football Weekly, is Max Rushton's reading out a novel that he's done at the moment. Detective Wilson
is
got.
Is Max Rushton?
He's another podcast I listen to anyway, and he's doing Detective Wilson, and it's, the characters are all different journalists that work in The Guardian that appear on the pod. So I think if you went down that avenue, maybe, you know, you're quite into your true crime at the moment, aren't you? So I think if you went down like a murder mystery, put a bit of a fun twist in it and put, you know, Emmett gets murdered and how's Detective President Hooper's Robert's gonna sort it or solve it. That'd be quite good.
Yeah, I'll just write me, except the whole time everyone is setting me up for clever one-liners.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. I think it would be a good use of your time at the moment. Given current circumstances, I think you could, you know, write a lovely little story. And since you're so damning of Sally Rooney, I think you need to kind of give it a go now.
I wrote my own chapter of a Famous Five book once.
How old were you when you did that?
Probably about 5 or 6.
Good. Do you want me to come back on another podcast and listen to it?
The Suspicious Man.
Oh, that sounds on the same line as Cupboard, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it was like... it was like the Famous Five going around asking people, why is that man so suspicious?
Mate, that's your challenge for next time I'm on the pod, okay? I want you to write a chapter, an opening chapter of Detective Roberts, okay? Because you're actually going to be a detective.
A chapter?
Right?
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, no, but you can, you know, just set the scene, mate. Yeah?
I'll write the first page.
Fine. Set the scene and then obviously read it to me next time I'm on, okay?
Deal.
Awesome. Right, mate, I'm going to have to shoot off now because I've only got like 1% anyway. So thanks for having me on and thanks for ripping my favourite show to shreds. Please give it another go.
Well, maybe after I've watched episode 2, I'll have some glowing things to say about it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hear this little story of yours anyway. So
wonderful, wonderful.
Okay. Well, cheers for having
me,
mate.
All the best to you and yours, and to all a good night for the folks. Okay.
Is this when the music kicks in?
No, we'll have already kicked in, hopefully.
All right.
And now
see you, Paul.
Ta-da.
I'm all alone every night. How I moan and how I fight those big city blues. I walk for miles, place to place, but no one smiles to help me chase those big cities.